No pre-show bit. Welcome, everybody. This is a special Hogcast Speedy Delivery, the number one independent Sonic Pizza podcast on the planet. Bonus feature? Special feature? Alan, what would you say this is? Like a limited series?
I mean, it's going to be one, I think. So.
A one? No, Alan, we have a multitude of episodes planned for this very special side series. Somewhat like if you remember way back in the day, you know, this is for the OG fans, Everyday Casts with Monster Girls, where we recorded weekly episodes about Monster Girls back when we didn't have friends or jobs or anything going for us, just sadness. We watched Monster Girls every week.
See, well, I thought that this was going to be kind of like a Crash Nebula situation where it's like a spin-off episode of a main show that never gets picked up for full series.
Like, you know, the famous series we all know and love, not the fucking two or three episodes of Married with Children. Okay, well, 90s kids will remember that.
Hold on a second. Are you saying that Crash Nebula was a spinoff of Married with Children?
No. It's still the Fairly Odd Parents. No, Married with Children had a famous failed pilot episode.
God.
It was just this new family came to town, and then it was mostly about this new family, and then Ted Bundy came by and said hello.
And then Ted Bundy.
Ted Bundy? Is it making the wrong Bundys mixed up?
Yes, you said
Bundy's
serial
the serial murderer. I know. Yeah. I made a joke about it on Hogcast once, and I can't fucking stop doing it. It's Al Bundy.
Yes.
Anyway, right. Let's stop talking about serial killers. That's not why people are here. This is a astute philosophical discussion podcast. I'm thinking very Socratic method on this one. Mm-hmm. This is a new podcast that we're using to celebrate and discuss the themes and the ideas and the message behind a little series called Kingdom Hearts.
Do you guys have a name for the series?
It's
yet?
Called I Can't Believe Goofy is Fucking Dead.
Oh, okay.
And I'm sorry. We have a special guest today, a researcher, an archaeologist, and I'm going to say a friend of the show, Ravi at Goomvi on Twitter. Welcome.
Thank
Ravi.
You. Though, it's nice to be here.
Though, as we're going to call you for the rest of the episode, the Royal Scholar.
Professor Mickey.
Professor Mickey.
Ravi the Wise.
Professor MK. Should we call you like Ravi X or something? Or
please don't.
Zarav.
Don't do that.
We're going to be talking to Zarav for the rest of the episode.
What? Are you saying?
Don't worry about it. You know, this will make perfect sense to you in about an hour.
So yeah. I don't know anything about Kingdom Hearts. Russ has played some of them. Robbie's played all of them. I don't know anything about it, and I just smoked a bunch of weed and kind of looked at this timeline list on fandom.com. So we'll see how much of this I can absorb. So far, I'm just looking at the foretellers.
Ooh, the foretellers.
Okay.
Yeah, so Kingdom Hearts, should I give some background info, Ravi?
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
What are these funny animals?
Let me start with, Kingdom Hearts. I'm googling some stuff
It was
right
called
now.
That because it was the game company's Final Fantasy.
God. Alan, I stop. Kingdom Hearts was a multimedia project launched by Square, pre-Square Enix even, back in the early 2000s. It was a hot new console generation. The PS2 had been out for a couple years, and people were wanting to push the power of it. And a chance meeting between,
Tetsuya Nomura.
It was Tetsuya Nomura and a Pixar employee?
I think a Disney employee.
And Disney employee, because at the time, Square and Disney Japan were located in the same office building. A chance meeting between the two created a synthesis of passion, music,
oh, much
adventure.
Like the Moogles do in the series.
I was drinking Powerade, but excuse me?
Oh, you're going to need some aid, some powerful aid in this one, because we're going on a journey tonight. Combining the Moogles? Heart of Disney with the tight... What?
Moogles?
Moogles are a Final Fantasy. Don't worry about it.
Okay, I'll get to that later.
We're not going to talk about Tunbury Clouds yet, okay?
Not yet.
But yes, combining the fun gameplay of an action RPG with the heart of a Disney film and the depth and breadth and, dare I say it, pathos of a Final Fantasy story, it created a landmark in the RPG world, in the gaming world, thousands of critics saying, it looks just like a cartoon, and introduced a bevy of classic characters that rivaled Mickey Mouse himself, including... Vanitas and Luxor.
Oh, like the hotel.
Yeah. Or Demix.
Or Lee?
Or Lee.
Why does he even hate his name?
Don't worry about it.
But now, please, welcome to I Can't Believe Goofy is Fucking Dead. And here would be a dramatic musical sting. If I remember to edit.
I'm probably editing it, so I'll try.
So welcome everybody. This is the first episode. We thought it would be fun to launch a little podcast series to get people hyped about this new Kingdom Hearts game. This is not paid content. We're just fans of the product.
I wish it was. Jesus Christ.
Ravi would have been allowed, they would have given him a special preview of the Kingdom Hearts themed Square Enix Cafe when he was in Japan, if this was paid content.
Wait, was that not open when you were in Japan?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. The signature drink was?
Of course I did.
It's called Aqua Juice.
It's specifically targeted at me, and I'm not there.
And then they serve you a big roasted duck with dressed as sailor's costume.
Did they serve you any aqua? Like, just charge you for Aquafina?
No, they gave me. It was Dragon Quest XI, so it was only slime juice.
Oh, God.
They slimed me.
Oh, you got slimed?
I got slimed, and then they had to throw me out like Cousin Skeeter.
Oh no!
Wait, hold.
This is not Kingdom Hearts related. This
I thought
is
you were talking
Quest.
About, like, you made it seem like there was an episode of Cousin Skeeter where he got dunked in slime and then thrown out of a door, kind of like DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Oh, I wish.
Alan, you were talking about the wrong thing. This is a philosophical podcast, okay?
Oh, we don't reference 90s Nick television shows on this one?
Yeah, we're only referencing Disney movies.
Disney.
Like, well, if the Disney princesses had a sword, or if
what if Disney Doug was Kingdom Hearts?
Oh man.
Oh, what if? So we're trying to get people, you know, caught up too, and we were thinking maybe we'd bring Alan on because there are some people, you know, never played a game in the series. Might want to check
a game
it out.
At all.
Yeah, some people don't even game, so we want to bring people on board to the Kingdom Hearts series, and they could just dip in late this January and immediately get caught up and
fully understand it,
because I think combined with, we kind of have all three levels here. We have the master Ravi, the master of masters,
the master of masters,
which will and then you have me, you know, a master Arrakis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a noble
Arrakis,
sage.
the desert
Alan,
planet
just hold your questions. Jesus Christ.
No, there is no Dune world in Kingdom Hearts, Alan.
Damn it.
What else? And then Ravi, would you say Alan is our impetuous young student?
Yeah, ooh, Alan like is a Terra or a Ventus.
Or a Xehanort.
Hey, are those?
Or a Xehanort.
But not that Xehanort. But not
the other Xehanort.
But not that Xehanort either.
Terra and Ventus, are these fucking characters or sizes of drinks at Starbucks?
God.
Alan, well, let's go through. So we thought, Alan, a rube-like Alan, a goofball, a fucking dummy like Alan here.
A funny animal.
Basically a funny animal, which is a dope version of a...
I'm dope, all right.
A bimbo version of a hot fur.
Bimbofied animal.
I smoked too much weed and I got bimbofied.
Yeah.
We're going to guide Alan through the Kingdom Hearts timeline.
That's a reverse bimbification. By the end of this, yeah. It's going to be like that one where the girl picks up the book and then like ties up her hair and stuff.
Yeah.
So the first question I have, Ravi.
Yeah.
Are we going in the chronological order of the franchise, or are we going by game release?
I think we have to go chronological in the franchise.
Okay. Well, this immediately strikes fear into my heart because I've only played things in the modern age, the Metal Gear Solid 2 and 4.
You haven't played the phone game?
I have not played the phone game. I have not played the remake of the phone game, and I have not played the remake of the remake of the phone game.
One thing I want to point out before we start is that a lot of people think all these other games are spinoffs. They refer to them as spinoffs. None of them are spinoffs.
They're chapters.
They're all irrelevant.
Imagine Kingdom Hearts, Alan, as a big dusty tome. I want you to, Alan, like we're doing some space work here. Take this tome in your hands.
I'm blowing the dust off of it.
Keep blowing.
There's a lot of dust.
Oh no, your lips connected with the book, and there was a picture of Aqua there. You're in love.
That's the series.
It's the series. But so we're gonna get started. We're using the fandom.com Kingdom Hearts timeline. There's not a good official timeline. Ravi thinks there's one floating out there.
Let me explain. There is one that was handed out in subway stations in Japan.
Right.
In pamphlets, and there were 5 pamphlets, and if you collect them all, you have the entire story of Kingdom Hearts leading up to Kingdom Hearts 3. Apparently, that hasn't been translated yet. So
no. And they were being handed out by cult members.
Yep,
the Happy Society people.
Being a fan of Kingdom Hearts is kind of like being in a cult.
You know, it's kind of weird because like the goals of Organization 13 does sound like an evil cult. Manifesting darkness in people's hearts.
So Organization 13 is when they wear goth outfits.
Yeah. It's when your friend Wild's out, you know.
When they go sicko mode on you.
Yeah, when they go sicko mode. A lot of the series is about normal folks going sicko mode.
So what's this foreteller stuff I'm seeing here?
Oh, let us journey back, Alan, into Kingdom Hearts X? No. Ravi?
It's Kingdom Hearts Key.
It's Kingdom Hearts Key. It's the key to the series.
Wait, key, like you mean the Greek letter or something?
Just like the Greek letter, baby.
I know this because I took math and science classes.
There you go.
I know all that. I'm a student of the Socratic method, which is kind of like what this podcast is.
You keep saying that. you always telling me about how you're like Socrates.
Yeah, it's like the Socratic method. We all jerk off at the end of it.
Yeah, kind of like the Beatles.
Temporary
secretary.
Not a Beatles song. Anyway, let's begin. Kingdom Hearts Key begins in Daybreak Town. All the worlds are one, and a large heart in the sky. Kingdom Hearts is believed to be the bringer of light. The Keyblade serves as its protector, keeping it out of mankind's reach. So this is kind of the first utterance of the phrase Kingdom Hearts. Ravi, is there an official explanation for what Kingdom Hearts is?
There is not.
Lifestyle.
Sora posits a theory at the end of Kingdom Hearts 1, which we'll get to. But...
Okay. So can you touch Kingdom Hearts?
I think Kingdom Hearts is a state of mind.
Okay. New York state of mind.
You can look at it. It's a thing that we all feel. It's like a Jungian collective consciousness thing.
It's not something you can possess, which I think
In the world of Kingdom Hearts permeates everything. It's up in the sky, but it's not. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
A prophet called the Master of Masters had an eye that gazed into the future. And the Book of Prophecies that foretold the Keyblade War, which would destroy all light and leave the world in darkness.
Okay.
So prophecies, Ravi?
There are definitely prophecies in this game.
All good stories start with a prophecy.
How do prophecies factor into a series that has time travel?
That's a good question.
And then my other question is, do they kind of present this, Ravi? Professor Mickey? The royal scholar, if you will. Do they present this all as like the age of fairy tales? It's not told correctly. This isn't matter of fact, you know?
So in this game, this is the mobile game or the, well, it's, the mobile game and the browser game, whatever.
Right.
This game,
it was like a Farmville, right?
It's sort of a Farmville. Uh-huh. It's like a, so you are there. You are in this, like, this is set in what would be, like, you would be presently there. So none of this is obscured. This is all accurate as it's written. Like, none of it is, you know, like, mm-hmm. explanations have been lost to time.
Okay, gotcha.
This is all as it is.
Okay. This is the thing that I got kind of confused about. Are there characters from this time period that exist later in the series?
We'll get to that.
Oh, no.
Okay, so why are they wearing furry masks?
Okay. Russ, keep going.
Can I just say, there's something you're going to have to figure out here, Alan. That a lot of Kingdom Hearts runs on JoJo's logic, which is, if you're a bad enough fucking dude, you can wear what you want.
You can wear whatever the fuck you want.
So, like, what I'm looking at in this, I don't know if I'm looking at the same fandom article as you guys, but I'm looking at a picture of, like, five people wearing, like, animal masks, and then one guy in black wearing, like, just a black hoodie, kind of like Evil Mickey.
Yep.
And then there's, like, some symbols
back
there.
Okay, hold
on,
you can't call him Evil Mickey. It's just Mickey.
Dark Mickey.
No, it's just Mickey.
Alan,
just
as you'll learn
Mickey.
In the later in the series, all creatures contain darkness.
Yes.
There is no dark Mickey, because Mickey does have darkness in him. He's a
complicated
character.
We're never going to get through this first
part. This is where things are they're most convoluted, I'd probably say. So
yeah. There's a pop-up book and stuff. Like,
What's going on here? Speaking of passing things on, the master passed on the Book of Prophecies to five of his six apprentices known as the Foretellers. Their names are Envy, Gula, Ira, Ace, and Ava.
Ira Glass.
Ira Gula.
Arugula.
Oh, man. Okay. Excuse me, clearing my throat. The remaining apprentice, Luxu, received the master's eye so that he may train a line of new apprentices to pass the eye on through the generation.
Got his eyes?
No, yeah. This is just a blue-ass blue eye. It's like, it kind of looks like Soul Edge.
But it's somebody's eyeball?
No, it's, well, it, I don't know if it's somebody. It might have just
it's
always
been
an eyeball.
It's definitely an eyeball.
Okay. The master tells Luxu that the Book of Prophecies is proof of Luxu's success in passing down the eye.
Okay.
Yeah. Self-explanatory.
Okay. The master tells the foretellers to form separate unions of Keyblade wielders so that they should maintain a balance of power should he ever disappear.
Oh, they got unionized.
Yeah, they did.
So he created, he told all of his followers to create separate miniature armies, even though he knew that someday it would lead to a war.
Because he's
a lot like the boss.
Yeah, it kind of does. His will is quickly being misinterpreted.
It's true. Keep going.
Okay. I'm just letting this all soak in and letting Professor, you know, if Professor Mickey here has anything to say about it.
Honestly, Kingdom Hearts Key is like...
Did you just watch the movie on the...
I watched the movie. It's like 2 hours long or something.
The film? Well, that was
the
performances.
It's not good, but
is
I
it like?
It.
Would you compare it more to like Ingmar Bergman's Red, White, and Blue trilogy or potentially Citizen Kane?
It's the Citizen Kane of Kingdom Hearts.
It's the Citizen Kane of gaming. We found it, folks.
We found it.
He meets with the foretellers individually, discuss their roles when he disappears. Ira, leader of the Unicornus Union, was chosen by the master to be the leader of the foretellers. Ace, leader of the Ursus Union, is instructed to be Ira's right-hand man, and this seeds jealousy and resentment in Ace's heart. Ace's heart or Ace's heart? I think it's Ace.
Kingdom Hearts. Sorry. It's called Kingdom Hearts.
It's called Kingdom Hearts. It's pronounced Key's heart. Envy, leader of the Anguis Union, watched over the others with a fair eye and mediates to make sure they'd get along. Gula, leader of the Leopardus Union, is secretly tasked with finding the traitor in their group. The master gives Gula...
The traitor Gulan.
God. He's gonna kill fucking what's his name, the basketball player, Enes Kanter.
Enes Kanter's gonna fucking die. Enes Kanter got Norded.
Yeah. Enes Kanter.
The traitor Gulan. Fuck okay. off. I hate that. Okay. Anyway. Ava, leader of the Vulpes Union, oh, the Lone Wolves, secretly recruits and trains Keyblade wielders for an entirely separate union from the others.
Wait, Vulpes means fox, not... Yeah. But you said the Lone Wolves.
Yeah, well...
Don't worry about it.
No. That was just also, me editorializing. That's me editorializing.
Okay, if they're all in a union, they're not really lone wolves, though, are they?
Isn't Vulpine all... No, that is foxes.
No, you're thinking of Lupine.
Lupine, yes.
Lupin the Third.
Okay, so this foxy rogue agent...
He's foxy Keyblade users. Yeah,
I don't know Latin. I'm not, you know, I'm not a researcher or a scientist like you.
You said... Yeah, you said that you learned it from the Socratic Method guy, bitch.
I know Greek. I don't know Latin. Thank you.
Go ahead.
If this was the Plutarchian lesson, maybe. Anyway. Okay. The Vulpes Union secretly recruits and trains Keyblade wielders for an entirely separate union from the others, one that will eventually be named the Dandelions.
Ooh, the Dandelions.
The Masters tell Ava to forget the other unions and entirely focus only on the Dandelions to keep Light alive. The Master gives Ava a list of 5 names to serve as her new recruits, one of which includes Ventus and one who she is meant to pass on the Book of Prophecies. So Ventus was in this age.
Yep, Ventus. Ventus survives from this age.
So the
How
age
old
of,
is Ventus?
No one knows.
The age of fairy tales could either be 1,000 years ago or maybe like back in 1985.
It's implied that it's like a very long time between Birth by Sleep and...
This
and
sounds a lot like Nier.
It's a lot like Nier, except one cares about it.
But Ravi.
Yeah.
Nobody got their ass hanging out.
The course of the series takes over 10 years. Like, so basically this happened 1,000 years ago, and then it happened, like, not that long ago. I don't know.
Yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson would tell you that 1,000 years ago isn't that long ago.
Oh, my
Humanity
God.
Humanity is just a blade at the end of the end zone.
A keyblade.
Keyblade. Is this the famous character,
Neil deGrasse Tyson? DeGrasse Tyson? Okay.
Norton deGrasse Tyson?
Which is funny. Man.
As somebody who is currently facing very dark allegations.
Dark things. Him. Yeah. Maybe that being Norted's not that great of an excuse, Neil.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the Keyblade War. When the Master disappears, the Foretellers and their respective unions start fighting over Lux. And this inevitably leads to the Keyblade War. Now, what's Lux again?
I believe Lux is a form of currency.
Oh.
Yeah. Whoa.
Just straight dripping in Lux.
So this Master brings fucking capitalism into this town and it says, like, y'all are fucked, and then leaves.
That's crazy.
It just sounds like America. the American dream. Anyway, so people start fighting over money. Or souls, or whatever. Thousands die, including the Foretellers and their unions. Only the Dandelions survive. All the death and destruction lead to Kingdom Hearts becoming trapped in the deepest darkness. The Keyblade.
So you say Kingdom Hearts is trapped in the deep. Is Kingdom Hearts the kingdom?
Kingdom Hearts is represented in this case by a giant heart shaped moon. Still, no one knows what the purpose of Kingdom Hearts is.
So, like, the moon is just a big heart that flies through the sky?
Yeah, kind of?
Yes.
I thought you said that Kingdom Hearts was like a state of mind.
It kind of is. No one knows what Kingdom Hearts is, Alan. Don't worry about it.
But it's falling into darkness.
Yes, it is falling into darkness. But why or how or what it does.
Or
you know, like the Traveler in Destiny?
Oh, Robbie, that's all you had to say.
There
I totally understand it now. Yeah. There's a little guy inside the heart.
Like a heart instead of an orb.
Yeah,
there's a little guy
in there.
It's from an age long past, Alan.
Yeah.
Okay,
Alan gets
the Traveler, like the Traveler.
Yeah, like the
Traveler. All Robbie had to say. Okay. If, you know, this sounds a lot like the Destiny lore. Is there a grimoire I have to read?
Yeah, oh this is God. It. We're reading it.
We're reading the grimoires, which are written by a bunch of nerds on a wiki page instead of a bunch of nerds in a office
Bungie,
building.
Yeah, on a Bungie official page.
Yeah. Okay.
The Hive.
So we've journeyed into the age of fairy tales. Now we're entering the modern age?
Sort of. Like, kind of before it, I guess.
Yes.
What is this not? Is this just called the modern age, or is it something else?
This is just the age that the games take place in.
Yeah.
Current day.
Sort of. It's like the 80s of Kingdom Hearts.
Okay.
So Kingdom Hearts Key, Alan, is like the backbone of the Kingdom Hearts lore, but you could only play it for a couple years on Facebook.
On a phone or something. Right?
On your phone. But it was very important at the time.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with Toontown,
but it was
by the
a
way,
movie,
so.
Too? You said you watched something, Robbie?
There's a kind of condensed, like, version they made that's, like, a movie that's on one of the collections.
So weird.
It is weird.
Is it action-packed? Like, what?
No, it's not. It's people. It's basically the Senate scenes from The Phantom Menace.
It's like a chamber drama.
Good.
Yeah, so it's really good.
So they do that cool music from the end of episode one, and then...
Yeah.
They're like, this is how democracy dies, and now assholes on Facebook are sharing it.
You got elected to Grand Moff. Grand Moff Mickey.
Grand Moff Mickey.
Grand Moff Mickey. That's how he became king. He instituted himself.
Mm-hmm. Jar Jar becomes a senator.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Did I ever tell you, guys, that thing that Bugmane had a theory on another podcast that... Jar Jar is kind of like the John McCain of the Star Wars universe, because he was just kind of like hailed as a war hero, but he really all he did was fuck up.
That doesn't make a lot of sense.
I do like
they're like Jar Jar is just like wrecking X-wings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh man.
Kingdom Heart. We're going into Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep, which
my
tells,
personal favorite.
Tells
what does that mean?
Oh, you'll get to it.
Oh, we'll get to it. And the way they have it split up are they take, like, the kind of the handful of bigger stories in this game and are kind of splitting it into different parts. Ravi, do you think we should go through it in that order?
I guess so. It doesn't make much sense not to.
Okay. No, the first story they're going into is the origins of Xehanort, who is the main villain of Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, sort of.
Yeah, sort of. He's kind of the main villain of the entire series.
Except he's
why does
not.
Why does he sound like an Animorphs character?
That's a great question.
Okay. Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep opens with Xehanort in his home world, Destiny Island.
You say home world. He's an alien?
No.
They're all aliens.
We're all aliens in
we're
this great
aliens
big void, Alan.
Yeah.
You should know this.
Okay, so I know in Kingdom Hearts they go to different worlds, like they go to the world of Toy Story or the world of Monsters, Inc. Are these different planets they're going to or different dimensions?
They're kind of different planets. They're like,
so they physically travel to these places?
Yeah. Oh, do you not know about the gummy ship?
There's the gummy ship?
Man. Oh, boy. All right, we got some work to do.
Have they gone into where the gummy technology comes from at?
It's just the fucking Adventure Zone balance. Is that what's going on here?
Okay, everything is cribbing from Kingdom Hearts. That's all you need to know.
It's probably the most important literary
It's the most important piece of media ever created.
Besides maybe Metal Gear Solid at the same time.
I mean, those are two pillars of society are Metal Gear and Kingdom Hearts.
Third is Gotti.
Is Gotti, okay.
Yeah, that's the newest one.
Anyway, let's get back to this. Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep opens with Xehanort in his home world, Destiny Island. Xehanort leaves home to train with his master and Arrakis, his brother-like friend and cohort.
The fact
how is Arrakis spelled? Is that like spelled like Dune?
It's Arrakis actually,
is like square mixed up.
Oh, master. Yeah. Okay, I'm looking at the written out. That is just square. Enix. Okay.
Yeah. So this is a big... elaborate in-joke because one of the main characters in the later games is Yen Sid, the wizard from the Mickey Mouse
Fantasia
short, whose name reversed is Yen Sid. And Yen Sid is friends with this guy Arrakis, who is square backwards, so it's like a motif, if you will.
Mm. Okay.
Also, I wanted to point out that the fact that Xehanort is from Destiny Islands is a big reveal. Because Sora and Riku and Sora and Riku are from Destiny
Irving?
Islands. Not Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is from Australia.
That's kind of a Destiny Island.
It's kind of a Destiny Island if you think about it. But yeah, the big reveal is that Xehanort is from the same place as Soren Riku are from.
Right, right. And maybe he almost serves as a dark reflection of them.
Yeah, a corrupted image.
Yeah.
A Norded version? Is this yes, a nobody?
A literally Norded version. Because
no,
his name is Xehanort, and that's where it comes from.
Alan, there are no nobodies here yet. Don't worry.
Anyway. Okay.
They're all somebodies.
Okay. During Xehanort's research, he discovers and becomes obsessed with the Keyblade, the X-Blade.
Who doesn't? Same.
It's the X-Blade. Can I just call it the X-Blade, Robin?
Yeah, that'd probably be easier.
He believes normal Keyblades were meant to counter Kingdom Hearts, but the Keyblade coexists within Kingdom Hearts. Or with Kingdom
Wait,
Hearts.
I thought Kingdom Hearts was the moon.
No.
It's a state of mind now.
It's a state of mind.
Represented
you think about
by
it
the moon
hard
sometimes?
Enough. Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. Kingdom Hearts is kind of an object to some people. Some people objectify Kingdom Hearts, and I think that's wrong.
It's bad. It's
but
not it, very
the
said
there's a big heart flying through the sky.
But it's not about the heart, Alan.
Is it like a big red heart, or does it just like look like the moon?
It looks like the moon.
Sometimes
look, okay.
It's a blue heart.
I want you to Google the cover art of Kingdom Hearts 1.
Oh, I am looking at that. That is just like a silhouette of the moon.
But
a silhouette
a
of a heart, but like a moon.
Yes.
Yeah,
aren't
okay.
There, Ravi, are there different Kingdom Hearts? There's a Kingdom Hearts of Light or a Kingdom Hearts of... Or
I feel like there's
that
just
debunked?
The one.
What's that?
What?
I think there's just the one.
There was like some fan theory I read that for a while was kind of considered like fan-in.
Yeah.
That there were multiple Kingdom Hearts.
I don't think that's true. I mean...
Is this like fucking Spider-Verse?
No, because... Okay, so I feel like what that is based on is that in Kingdom Hearts 2 that... They are building a new Kingdom Hearts.
Right.
Like,
they're building another moon.
Trying to build a Kingdom Hearts.
No, Alan, this is not the moon.
It's like the Death Star.
Well, then it
is
the moon.
Which is categorically not a moon.
Yeah, famously not a moon.
So when you say they're building a new Kingdom Hearts, does that mean they're building a new ideology? Or are they building a physical...
They're building a...
Like, is this
how
like,
do I do this?
Is this like fucking outer heaven or something? Like, what's
no,
going on?
No,
so it's not
no.
A place you can go to. It's a thing you can control. Okay, so Kingdom Hearts is kind of like a nuke in their case.
So it is like outer heaven.
It is kind of like outer heaven.
Sometimes Kingdom Hearts is good.
Sometimes Kingdom Hearts is good and it's not a nuke and it's instead like friendship. And sometimes Kingdom Hearts is bad and it's a nuke.
Okay, so the Keyblade can summon Kingdom Hearts.
It can like forge a Kingdom Hearts.
This is a forge event from Destiny 2.
Yes, it's a forge event from Destiny. Basically, actually, yes, because
we're
they need to create the Keyblade to create Kingdom Hearts.
We haven't made it to Kingdom Hearts 1 yet, by the way.
We have not.
Okay, let's go.
Okay. Xehanort wants to create the Keyblade to create... Yeah, he wants to create the Keyblade so he can reunite the worlds and provoke another Keyblade war, an idea that greatly disturbed Arrakis. He wants to
Me
complete
too.
Kingdom Hearts because it is said that the one who opens its door will bring about the creation of the next world. Who says that?
I don't know who says that. No
who
one
says
that,
Robbie?
That.
Did you say,
would never
say that?
Personally, I would never say that. To me, that's preposterous. Kingdom Hearts, things of that nature.
What is a new world? There's already multiple worlds.
Now, Robbie,
worlds.
You know I'm sensitive to Kingdom Hearts.
But!
Thanks, Robbie.
Yeah.
Man.
Take a look, y'all.
Okay, this is some Elon Musk shit. He believes whoever opens the door to Kingdom Hearts will be reborn as something far greater than human, giving them power over all worlds and all people. So
he gets real close to opening that door.
He gets pretty close. Why does he?
This is a real Thanos.
Yeah.
He's a Thanos type, yes. He wants to control.
What does he look like?
You see that hot tanned man at the top of the Birth by Sleep section?
The guy with like the guy looks like a Final Fantasy guy that he has like the spiky hair.
Yeah, that's
the brown
him.
Hair.
Yeah,
that's Xehanort?
That's one of him.
That's Terra.
Nope, that's Xehanort.
Wait, I thought Terra was, huh? I thought Terra was the brown hair guy.
Terra? Oh, no. He's got white hair. Hold on. At the top of the Birth by Sleep section. In the timeline?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. It's a picture of three people, and it says from left to right, Terra, Ventus, and Aqua.
Oh, you're looking at a different section. You're in the article, right?
Link me the thing.
Okay. All right.
There's too many different... This sucks. I don't like... This guy looks like the guy from Final Fantasy 15. I never finished that one. And that's a good the guy one. That like wears glasses and cooks dinner.
That's Ignis, and he's not in this.
This guy looks like Igneo or whatever.
Okay. Let's just move on. I'll figure this out for Alan. Okay. Don't worry.
Copy the link to the timeline. Paste it in the Discord.
Sure.
Okay. After many years, Xehanort becomes old and weak, and he starts searching for a person he can possess and use as a vessel to remain alive. So he's a master of like heart magic.
Mm-hmm.
Do they ever go into this, Ravi? Is there like a master of like the heart? Like, is there a heart king? I guess that is Xehanort right now.
The heart king.
I'm thinking very hard about this. I don't think so. I think Xehanort just did a. He's a science man.
He is a science man.
You know, he's got all those.
He's like an evil science wizard.
Wait a second. Yeah. He looks like the guy Ventus or whatever, but with fucking white hair instead of brown.
Okay, we'll get to that. Don't worry.
Okay. Go ahead.
Anyway. Now we move on to the Ventus's heart section.
Oh.
Xehanort finds Ventus and takes him in as a pupil with the intention of manipulating his heart into submitting to the darkness. Ventus, being incredibly pure, refuses to use the darkness. However, Xehanort forcibly extracts the darkness from Ventus's heart, and he names the entity Vanitas.
Project Vanitas, the guys that drive around the van, checking for voter fraud.
God, yeah.
Ravi, have they explained how Ventus is from 1,000 years ago, but is also now Xehanort's pupil?
I feel like
he's just an old guy.
He's just an old dude. I think he was kept in like cryostasis, sort of.
Is it like how Jesse McCartney just still looks so young? He's doing something good.
Oh yeah, it's just like that. And he just, you know.
Yeah, black don't crack.
Jesus Christ.
Oh God. All right.
After literally breaking Ventus's heart in two, all that is left of Ventus is a hollow shell.
Hey, Russ, are you reading from my divorce proceedings?
Oh, my God.
Alan, I know you were going through a phase at that time, but now you're whole again. You have a podcast. It's all good.
Yep.
You're talking about Kingdom Hearts.
Okay, we're talking about Kingdom Hearts. This is I Can't Believe Goofy is Fucking Dead, a podcast about...
All the good podcasts remind you what the name of the podcast is in 37 minutes.
I just want to make sure people know this is what it is. This is not... therapy hour for Alan. With the intention of dumping Ventus's body, Xehanort takes him to Destiny Island, a place Xehanort always saw as a prison.
Like Australia, yes.
What little light Ventus had left in him attracted Sora's newborn heart to Ventus's fractured heart.
Hold on, Russ. This part is so funny in the game. It's so funny.
So you got a baby heart.
Like, funny in that you have to have a big brain because you laugh because you're so much smarter than normal.
Yes, I laugh because I understand it fully.
It's a real Rick and Morty situation.
It's a Rick and Richard and Mortimer.
So, like, what does this visually look like when baby heart flies to the other guy?
So, hold on. I can explain it. Don't worry.
How did the filmmakers at Square Enix
visually represent Sora as a newborn baby? Mm-hmm. So Sora's heart, they use the word heart in these games to basically just mean soul, but they can't say soul, I guess, so they just say heart.
Same thing.
Sora's heart looks like just like a ball of light, and it's talking to Roxas, but you don't hear it. Like, there are subtitles, but there's no words.
This is like when Harry Dean Stanton saw that kid get hit by a car.
Yeah.
In Twin Peaks.
Oh.
So yeah, so Ventus is in like a dark room with like a stained glass floor talking to like a newborn baby. And it's very good. It's
and
very
the baby light shoots
good.
Inside of his chest or something?
Yeah.
Okay. But then he wakes up with his memories lost?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now the next section is called Aqua and Terra. Mm-hmm.
One of those characters, very good. The other character, not very good at all.
He's actually okay. Very mean and nasty. Will
very
be a
bad.
Big thorn in the side of our heroes later.
Yes.
Okay.
Aqua and Terra. Xehanort brings Ventus back to Arrakis, who is with his pupils, Aqua and Terra. Being the first time Xehanort met both Aqua and Terra, he develops an interest in Terra and sees potential in him to be his vessel. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. There's some subtext Normal. Here we don't want to get into. Is this a Square RPG or the Kids in the Hall speech? What the fuck? Anyway.
Good one.
What? I'm just saying.
I love the Kids in the Hall sketches about old men wanting to possess somebody's body.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens more than you think as somebody who tried to rewatch that series.
Jordan Peele's famous horror movie, Kids in the Hall.
Kids in the Hall.
Oh, man. Aqua, Terra, and Ventus become best friends, and they train together to become Keyblade Masters.
There's more than one Keyblade?
There are, oh boy. Okay, remember the Dandelions?
Yeah.
They all had Keyblades. There are tons of Keyblades. I feel like, because these games, like, the first game implies that there are only two, but there are, like, a trillion Keyblades. Mm-hmm.
They're just, like, digging them up out of the ground.
Yeah, I got one. You probably have one somewhere in your house.
Yeah.
I tripped over one.
Yeah.
Like, in the street today.
There are Keyblades everywhere. Everyone gets a Keyblade.
Okay.
Yeah, anyone who's Oprah's anybody here. Has a Keyblade these days. Yeah. Anyhow.
You should buy a Keyblade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can.
Yeah, why not?
Get that limited edition Mickey Mouse one. You could be like...
Yeah, get the one that's the opposite of mine.
Yeah.
Okay, then I can fight you.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you can finally destroy each other.
Yeah.
Which, like, some characters we're talking about right now. Maybe.
Okay,
later.
Go ahead.
During Aqua and Terra's Mark of Mastery exam, Xehanort sabotages Terra's exam while Aqua passed her exam and earned her Mark of Mastery.
Okay.
So, only one of them became a master, and that's very important.
Yeah. Xehanort provokes Terra to leaving home and manipulates him in various ways to turn him against his friends and open his heart to darkness.
Various ways? What were the ways?
Just...
Like, put some obstacles in his way.
It's pretty much just one way. He was like, you'll be really powerful if you do the bad thing. It's just the fucking Star Wars thing.
Yeah, if you know what's a great series? Kingdom Hearts. People love the Star Wars prequels. I think it's a high mark of honor.
Uh-huh. Imagine if Star Wars had, like, five prequels. One of them was, you had to, like, watch on your Nokia, like, phone. One of them was on, like, a sidekick.
Yeah,
you could only watch episode one on fucking N-Gage.
Yeah, exactly.
But they remastered it every other week, but like you're not really sure which version you're supposed to buy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. At the end of the game, the three friends end up in the Keyblade graveyard, the place where the Keyblade War took place.
Damn. Oh, it's like that thing from Steven Universe.
It is just like that thing from Steven Universe.
All the swords sticking out of the ground.
Yeah. Okay. That is stolen directly from Kingdom Hearts.
God damn you, Steven.
Oh, my
Steven?
Goodness. Rebecca Sugar. There ain't nothing sweet about you, you thief.
Rebecca Sugar probably is a Kingdom Hearts fan.
She probably 100%. Loves it.
Yeah.
I mean, Steven Universe is about as coherent right now.
Yeah.
What the fuck's going on with that?
Maybe less. I don't know.
I don't know. It's pretty straightforward. They went back to home. They went back to home world.
Are you saying our brains are broken from Kingdom Hearts and normal narratives look insane to us? People saying their feelings out loud, but not in a... Well, characters say their feelings out loud all the time in Kingdom Hearts.
They do.
But they don't say any relevant information out loud ever. I don't know.
Okay. Russ, we're at 44 minutes in.
Okay.
We're in the second game.
We're in the second game. Okay, Terra Xehanort. Xehanort takes over Terra's body, creating Terra Xehanort, a silver-haired, yellow-eyed version of Terra. This look becomes a staple of being possessed by Xehanort throughout the game series.
So when you get Norted, you get yellow eyes.
Yes, yeah. That's important. That's an important detail. Sometimes you get white hair too.
You get the thriller horny eyes.
Yeah,
the cat eyes. Yeah.
I feel like okay. So the problem I have with the term Norted is it comes from a place of that has no knowledge behind it.
It comes from a place of ignorance.
Definitely. It comes from a place of ignorance. And that's why I have a problem with it. You can't just say that everyone gets Norded.
Well, if they have yellow eyes, they're Norded.
If they have yellow eyes, they're definitely Norded. But like, you can't just be like...
Ravi saw a person with yellow eyes like in the street, somebody with like anime contacts in, and he just murdered them.
Yes, I would.
Do you get pissed off when people say they go sicko mode, but you're like, how... Tell me, let me see your Xan prescription. Did you only take half of one?
Yeah. Well, it's 13 hours till I land, though.
Yeah.
Where's
the Xan?
Where's the Xan?
Show me that other half. I like that he takes half a Xan, a totally reasonable amount.
And then he goes to sleep. He just sleeps normally.
Yeah, that's sick.
What else are you supposed to do on a 13-hour flight?
Man, everybody made fun of me when I thought Drake was 40, but he really acts like it. He
does. His friend's name is 40.
Aqua is forced to fight a newly merged Ventus Venetus.
I feel like we could skip a lot of these parts here.
But we gotta get the full lore.
Read, like, the big bullet points, I think.
Yeah, read the big bullet point. Yeah, because a lot of these suck.
Okay. Yeah.
Aqua leaves Ventus in Castle Oblivion, where he rests in a deep slumber, and she sets out to find Terra Xehanort.
What's Castle Oblivion, Alan, is... So, the original world where they're from, the Land of Departure... became Castle Oblivion because it was corrupted by Xehanort. They don't explain it in here, which I think is weird because they explain everything else.
Okay.
So Castle Oblivion is a place. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, and it comes back later.
It comes back later.
Terra Xehanort is brought to Ansem the Wise. Oh, after everything blows up and everybody gets sent to the Realm of Darkness, Terra Xehanort is brought to Ansem the Wise, a scientist who takes the Terra Xehanort as one of his apprentices. Alongside Brig.
That little drawing of Ansem the Wise kind of looks like a Metal Gear Solid character, like concept art.
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
He's also voiced by Christopher Lee.
That's cool.
It's very cool.
And his voice is showing up in Kingdom Hearts 3, right? Because they recorded it years ago.
Maybe.
Okay, now let's get to this next big bullet point, because there's several things here that are...
This stuff's really important. So Terra Xehanort, Brig begin conducting experiments on the darkness in people's hearts, and they bring in their own apprentices. Their experiments eventually lead them to releasing a massive cluster of Heartless into the Realm of Light. Terra Xehanort takes over the research facility and banishes Ansem the Wise to the Realm of Darkness. With Ansem gone, Terra Xehanort figures out how they split themselves into two beings.
Okay.
An artificially created Heartless made from his own heart, Ansem, Seeker of Darkness. And
okay, hold on a second.
Go ahead.
He's created... What's a Heartless?
I'm glad you asked, Alan. A Heartless is a being that is created from the darkness in someone's heart.
Okay.
So, since everyone has darkness in their heart, you can make Heartless out of anyone. It's just the amount that determines how... strong they are and more human-like they appear.
So if you were really good, you'd have a shitty Heartless.
Yes, exactly. You'd have the lowest level Heartless.
Gotcha. What do you die and then the Heartless replaces you, or is it like there's two of you?
Yeah,
your heart goes away.
Okay, but then it says there's a nobody named Xemnas.
Yes, so you're split into two parts. You become a Heartless and a nobody. A nobody is like the empty shell, and then the Heartless is the darkness.
Why shouldn't the nobody be like the good part?
No, because the heart is the good part and the heart's gone.
Yeah.
Oh.
You ain't got a heart, you can't see.
So is the nobody just like catatonic, or what's going on?
It can be. But sometimes it takes on the form of weird alien looking dudes. Or sometimes people.
Okay, now it says Brag creates a nobody named Zigbar.
Yes.
Now, did he make a Heartless too, or?
Yeah, I assume they all made Heartless, but I don't think they became. Maybe it was a shitty. Like, they were shitty Heartless. Yeah.
Okay.
These were okay folks. They were all right. Just fucking
except
around.
For, except up. For Ansem, I guess, was bad.
Ansem was the Xehanort was the bad one.
Yeah,
but they
he calls himself Ansem because he's trying. He's using his name as an alias.
Is okay. original Xehanort like dead at this point? In this new this Xehanort's like a copy.
Xehanort took over Terra.
Xehanort took over Terra.
But it's like not they
mind
perfect.
Mind hopped.
It's not perfect mind hop though, because Aqua is in the darkness fighting.
Yeah, yeah. It's not perfect mind hop.
It's kind of like Superior Spider-Man.
It's a yeah. lot like Superior Spider-Man, Alan.
Oh my god.
Yeah, okay.
45 minutes in, we're all are we all strapped in, folks?
I understand now.
Okay. Xemnas forms Organization 13. Oh, excuse me. The remaining apprentices also fall to the same state, and they are under the impression that their goal is to work together to become fully human again and regain their hearts. The
goal. Why did they make themselves heartless in the first place?
Manipulation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ansem like got them all to like be heartless, and they're like, wait a second, this sucks.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, let's do it, and they were like, sure, for science, yeah. and they yeah. did it.
This is a lot like Venom.
This yeah, is a lot like Venom. Actual grad school too, by the way.
Yeah,
basically,
it convinces people this is like, a good
hey,
idea.
Listen. You can if you just got to get paid $15,000 for maybe like 5 years, and then when you get a job afterwards, you might get
you'll,
paid 50.
You'll be a heartless. You'll be heartless and a nobody.
You'll be heartless. Yeah, you'll be heartless and a nobody, aka a postdoc.
Yeah. yeah.
Anyway.
More powerful than you could ever imagine.
So yeah. the dominoes are in place, Alan, setting things up for Kingdom Hearts 1, where all where everything
we're here, the first
began.
Kingdom Hearts game.
Yay.
Okay.
Great.
The game begins 10 years after the end of Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep. Ooh. Sora, Riku, and Kairi are from Destiny Island, and they all share the dream of traveling to new worlds. Their dreams are quickly interrupted when Destiny Island is taken over and destroyed by Heartless. Riku believes that submitting to the darkness is his only chance to gain the power to leave Destiny Island, and the Kingdom Key, which originally intended for Riku, transfers to Sora's possession.
Is that a Keyblade?
That's a Keyblade.
Yeah. The Kingdom Key is the Keyblade I have.
Nice.
Yeah. Riku departs in darkness, and Sora goes to find Kairi. He finds her in a cave right before the door to darkness opens, whooshing her through Sora's body and casting Sora out of Destiny Island.
I also need to explain something real quick. Alan, there is a cave in Destiny Islands where there is a door that for some reason leads to the Realm of Darkness.
Oh, it's like that on the island from the last Star Wars thing. There's that weird hole.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot like that.
The, yes. Like the weird hole that like the dark shit was coming out of.
Yeah, it's a lot. Except there's like a physical door there, and then
okay,
it opens.
I understand.
Yeah,
this is a lot like Star Wars.
It's a yeah. lot like Star Wars if you think about it.
Or Star Wars is a lot like it.
Yeah.
True. Sora is thrown into Traverse Town, a town built on the remnants of other worlds that have been destroyed by Heartless. Those who survive the destruction of their world end up in this town.
Including it's like Battle World from Marvel.
Yeah, a little yeah. bit actually.
Yeah.
The Secret Wars.
And it includes a lot of Final Fantasy cameos.
Okay.
All your favorite Final Fantasy characters are there, Alan. Can you name one?
The guy who laughs.
Titus?
Yes.
Yeah. Actually,
yeah,
he was on Destiny Island. He's not there.
he dies, I think.
Cindy.
He's probably...
Oh, yep. Wait. No, she's not there either. She's not.
I'm sure she'll be around. We'll see.
She'll be around, I'm sure.
They can't put Cindy in a fucking thing. She's got like her boobs hanging out.
Tifa's in Kingdom Hearts 2, okay? So it's,
yeah, but she's got a pretty okay. like conservative costume in that one. I'm That's just true. Saying.
She's dressed That's like true. Meghan McCain.
yeah.
It's pretty conservative.
Professor yeah, Mickey really liked them. New friends and the Seven Princesses of Heart. In Traverse Town, Sora meets Donald and Goofy, who agree to help him look for Riku and Kairi.
Did they get their world destroyed, and that's why they're in Traverse Town?
Who,
no.
Donald and Goofy?
Yeah.
No, they were sent on a mission.
Oh, okay.
Donald and Goofy work for the king, who's Mickey Mouse.
Donald is the court mage, and Goofy oh. is the head of the knights.
And...
Of course.
Mickey is the yeah, king of either Disney World or all the worlds.
I think he's just the king of the Disney World.
Okay. So he's king of all... Is he the king of that one castle that you run around in?
Yeah, the castle and like the surrounding... what, like the weird amusement park that's in Birth by Sleep.
Okay, gotcha. Oh, weird. Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah.
While Sora, Donald, and Goofy travel to all the worlds, they gather information on Riku and Kairi while stopping the destruction of other worlds. So this is kind of the loop of the game, Alan, is you're going around saving Disney worlds by, like, mm-hmm. recreating the plots of the games, and then at the end you lock the world so that bad guys can't show up in it.
Yep, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're, like, digitally restoring a DVD and removing any grit or dust that may have been basically on the film.
Yeah. Yes. It's like one of the, what's like when you put that little, like, toothpaste shit on the bottom of, like, a scratched up game.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You put in, and then you put it in, like, the spinner thing.
The spinny thing, yeah. It's just like
a salad spinner, but for discs.
Yeah.
At the same time, Riku starts working for Maleficent because she has Kairi's sleeping body. And she convinces Riku the only way to help Kairi wake up again is to follow her orders and capture the seven princesses of heart, who are seven Disney princesses who are pure of heart, I think.
Yep.
That's have... it. Anyway. Maleficent turns out to be a pawn of Ansem, the Seeker of Darkness. He reveals himself after Sora, Riku, and Kairi are finally reunited, and Kairi is discovered to be one of the seven princesses of heart. Ansem explains that Kairi's heart has taken refuge inside of Sora.
Whoa.
This is huge, Alan. Remember this. Whoa. Sora uses his Keyblade... Oh, he uses Ansem's Keyblade on himself, releasing Kairi's heart and his heart along with it. He is turned into a Heartless, but Kairi revives Sora with the special powers she has within her as one of the seven princesses of heart.
Fun fact about this part. In Kingdom Hearts 1, in the game over screen, there's a little heart floating above Sora when you get a game over. In Kingdom Hearts 2, the heart is gone.
Oh, fuck.
Whoa. Makes you think.
This is like fucking Undertale.
Yeah, it's just like Undertale.
But... didn't you tell me earlier that his heart was light, like just a light? Or did it form into a real heart?
That was when he was a baby.
It was when he was a little baby.
So babies have light hearts?
Babies are...
I think maybe he hadn't been born yet.
He had not been born yet, yeah.
And that soul was like on its way down from heaven.
Yeah, it's on its way down from heaven to become to go into Sora's mom's womb. A Colton
Burpo situation?
Yeah. No, 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 yeah, he didn't die. Burpo he situation. Didn't like... No, no, no. It's like, you don't have a soul.
Have you heard
until...
about this new talk show that's dropping on Comedy Central soon? It's called the Colton Burpo situation.
No.
The first 15 minutes of the episode is him catatonic, and then the last 10 are him waking up.
It's like a Flatliners TV show. Basically. No, so like, I think this is like a really radical thing that Kingdom Hearts is doing, because they're saying that life starts at the exact moment of childbirth, because it's like his soul was like on its way down from heaven until the moment he was born.
Yeah, that is what they're saying.
If you think about it, it do be damn, like that.
It's like you can, it's, man, that's really radical. Usually
it's a
they...
lot.
By releasing Kairi's heart from his body, Sora fulfills Ansem's plan of using the seven princesses of heart to open the door to Kingdom Hearts.
Okay.
Having the door open is catastrophic, since Kingdom Hearts has been stuck in the deepest darkness since the Keyblade War. Sora and Riku work together to defeat Ansem, and they close the door together. Sora closes the door from the outside, and Riku sacrifices himself to pull the door shut from inside the Realm of Darkness, leading Sora to his next quest in Kingdom Hearts, Chain of Memories, to free Riku.
So in this one, Kingdom Hearts is a place you can get to by opening a door.
Oh, boy.
So Kingdom Hearts, Alan... Do you know the works of Ikuhara, including...
Okay, I was about to say, is this kind of like the door at the end of Utena? Because if that's what it is, that makes sense.
Kingdom Hearts sometimes does not exist in a physical space, but more of a storytelling metaphorical space. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Goofy rides in on the front of a car, and he's like, I'm end of the world.
Yeah.
Exactly, thank you.
What's wild is that the place that this segment of the game takes place is called End of the World.
Fuck off. They just ripped this off of fucking Utena. Fuck this.
Anyway, so if something doesn't make a lot of sense, Alan, it's because it's all metaphor, it's symbol, it's mythology. It doesn't take place in physical space.
This is why I think Kingdom Hearts is stupid, but for different reasons that most people think it's stupid.
No,
people think it's stupid because, like, Mickey is like, yeah, uh-huh, they'll pay for this.
Exactly. That's why people think it's stupid. But I think it's stupid because of all this other stuff.
Actually,
you don't like
genius.
The symbology.
Yeah.
It takes place in the non-linear progression of time that's very, you know.
Yeah, it's very much Billy Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Okay, Chain of Memories. We're going to try to get through this one quick because it's a fucking spinoff.
Can I do this one real quick, Russ?
Yeah, you can do this one.
Chain of Memories is a cash-in to make it so that like you buy a GBA version of a game that's basically a replay of the Kingdom Hearts mm-hmm. 1 story, but like they put in stuff in it that makes it plot relevant to Kingdom Hearts 2. Like the organization shows up for the first time in Chain of Memories.
And
Sora
and
has to
half
fight
of them.
Him.
You kill half,
oh, half of them. Sora kills half of them. The one he doesn't kill is die? Axel, because Axel is handsome and a hit with the ladies, so they have to keep him for the next game.
Alan, by the time you make it to Kingdom Hearts 2, half of the members of the main villains have died.
Are already dead.
But none of the... But Goofy dies and then temporarily comes back to life?
Yeah, oh, no. But... No, these guys are dead.
When does Goofy die?
No, some of them Kingdom Hearts are 2. Coming back in Kingdom Hearts 3. Actually,
so,
some of them come back. We'll get to that later.
The main guy in Castle Oblivion is a guy named Marluxia, who captured a girl named Naminé, who has, for some reason, the power to rewrite people's memories. Also, she looks eerily like a blonde version of Kairi. Mm-hmm. We'll get back to that. So she's rewriting Sora's memories so that she is replacing herself with Kairi in the memories. And by the end of it, she feels bad about it and is like, okay, Sora, you got to go sleep in this pod so I can restore your memories to the way they are. Mm-hmm. And then he forgets what happens in Castle Oblivion.
But no, Naminé is Kairi's nobody?
Naminé is Kairi's nobody. You figured it out.
I mean, I'm reading it.
I would never have, okay. You would never have guessed that.
You would have never guessed that if you were looking at a picture of her.
Also, I mean,
she
similarly.
Looks like her with blonde hair, apparently.
Yes.
By the way, Riku... is kind of running around in the back room and the background. And
he's like in the basement. He's going down Castle Oblivion. Well,
it's a really Rosencrantz and Guildenstern situation.
It is, yeah.
Where he's just kind of doing stuff in the background while everybody else is having the story. Yeah.
Kind of, Kingdom Hearts kind of takes place in that same world where metaphor and time and linearity isn't so important. It's about the feelings and the emotions. Okay, people. Stop hating.
Yeah.
And Diz, who's a big character in Kingdom Hearts 2, helps Riku escape, but tasks him with a very serious thing to do, which kind of is covered in the game 358 over half days. Ravi, do you want to cover this one too?
Okay, so 358 over 2 days is how it's actually pronounced. It takes place over the 358 days that Roxas is in the organization. Roxas is Sora's nobody, as you can tell, because it's Sora with an X in it and then all mixed around.
Hey,
go ahead.
I just now realized that.
Yeah, Zigbar and Brag and all them. Axel.
Oh, wow. Ansem, Zemnis?
Zemnis, Ansem,
Mind-blowers here.
So, 358 over 2 days takes place over that period of time that Sora's in Castle Oblivion. It's just Roxas doing busy work, basically, and he... There's this girl named Shion who looks just like Kairi, but with black hair. And she also has a Keyblade, and that's weird.
Wait a second,
nobody
so she must be the Heartless of Kairi.
Oh, hold on. We'll get to that.
Oh, boy.
So Shion is not that. Shion is a replica puppet who looks like whoever you want her to look like.
Oh, she's a boggart.
Yeah, she's a boggart. She has no actual face. She's just kind of a robot that was created to absorb the data of Roxas using the Keyblade and Sora using the Keyblade. So
data
that
becomes
could...
a big thing in the series, by the way.
She's like when, I don't know why I thought this, but like when in Blade Runner, when Ryan Gosling projects a hologram over that lady.
Yeah.
Who has sex with her.
Kind of.
Oh my God.
But yeah, it's Kairi with black hair. Okay, it's Kairi wearing Settlers. The wig from Riverdale that Betty.
Yeah, the dark Betty wig.
Dark Betty wig.
Alan, have you ever played the game Settlers of Catan?
No.
Do you know that there's like different materials you collect in the series of a game?
Yeah, you like collect a bunch of like little tiles or
wool,
something.
You get lumber, you get stone, you get brick.
Yeah.
Those are kind of the component materials that make up your game, right?
Mm-hmm,
in Kingdom Hearts, the equivalent would be memories, hearts
sea salt
is a big
ice
one.
Cream.
Sea salt ice cream.
Wait, hold on. Sea salt ice cream? How? What?
And data. They talk about data so much.
They do talk about data a lot.
Data is so important. Yeah, it's big data.
They talk about big data. So,
if I was in the Kingdom Hearts world and I like wanted to like go down to like McDonald's or something and buy like a Whopper, then like I would have to give them some of my memories or like
they would probably force you to pass a test of friendship.
Yeah, probably. You wouldn't. Yeah.
I have to be friends with like I had to like befriend the.
They do have like money, but you only get the money from beating people up. So
I have to like beat up Grimace or like become friends with like Mayor McCheese. Yeah,
Grimace kind of looks like a Heartless if you.
God, but if there was a Kingdom Hearts game that took place in the McDonald's land.
So as I was saying, Shion is a puppet that is trying to consume the data of Sora and Roxas using the Keyblade so that they can.
Is that like a metaphor for his cum?
No. There is no sex in the Kingdom Hearts.
No one has sex in these games. Alan, no. Please.
People reproduce by having their spirit split from their body and that they become a nobody.
There's maybe some hugging in it, but that's about it.
Okay.
So they're trying to have their own Keyblade, but at the end of the game, Roxas has to kill Shion, and it's very sad.
Damn.
Yeah. So yeah, that's basically 358 over 2 days. It ends with Roxas rejoining with it doesn't.
Sora.
Doesn't he try to escape and then he gets captured?
Yeah, he tries
Riku?
To escape and then he gets captured and then he gets put into a data version of this other place called Twilight Town, which is in Kingdom Hearts 2. Right.
So why is I thought the nobodies were supposed to be like more or less useless. Why is Roxas like just running around having his own life?
Some of the nobodies are, so the nobodies that are made by, I think they're made by Ansem's Keyblade. They have their own.
Wait,
thoughts.
Ansem has a Keyblade?
No,
yes.
Of course he does, you fool.
Come on. Okay. Wait, I don't remember Ansem's Keyblade.
Which Ansem? Yeah. Not Xemnas.
Not Xemnas.
Ansem's Seeker of Darkness's Keyblade.
I was confused. I couldn't remember if Christopher Lee Ansem had it.
Christopher Lee did not have a Keyblade.
The Keyblade, no. the dark,
only evil Ansem.
Ansem, who when he was possessing Riku, had a Keyblade.
Yes, that Keyblade, I think, can create nobodies that are sentient.
And they were trying to use the Keyblade to unlock the door to the darkness.
And Ansem, Seeker of Darkness, is of course the Heartless, created by
Xehanort. Yes.
Okay.
And so. We're going to get into it later, but they had a specific reason they had Sora use the Keyblade in KH2.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm seeing something here about when he returns to Sora in KH2, he passes on the dual wielding ability.
Yes, he does.
Okay. So he has two swords?
Well,
yes,
okay.
He has
so
two Keyblades, and it inspired a generation of YouTube videos.
It's so good, including my own.
Have y'all seen Professor Mickey's? Is that the name of your YouTube chancel?
They're gone now. Don't worry. Uh-huh.
Your YouTube chancel. That's
Council.
That's the fucking Heartless version of channel. It has an X in it. Or a fucking nobody version. Sorry.
There you go. You're getting it, Alan.
Well, as we all know, YouTube is the Heartless version. Daily Motion is the nobody version, and Google Video was the original.
I was gonna say Pornhub was.
Okay. Now the Pornhub is the data version, the Dream Eater version. I don't know.
Russ, do you want to get into Kingdom Hearts 2? Because you are familiar with this one.
I'm familiar with Kingdom Hearts 2. Kingdom Hearts 2 begins immediately after 358
over 2 days.
358 over 2 days. Why is it called that again? Because it takes place.
Because
in
those are the 358 days that he was in the Castle Oblivion or whatever the fuck. Or
Thank
no, wait,
you,
it's
Alan.
The in pretending to be part of Organization 13.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Russ, come on.
Okay.
Come on, buddy.
Oh God!
It's over two because it's split between.
I thought I was the dunce here.
It's split between Shion and
Roxas. Oh, of course, yes, it makes perfect sense. Okay, Roxas lives out his last days in Twilight Town before he merges back with Sora. Sora wakes up with no memory of Castle Oblivion or the people he met there. Sora, Donald, and Goofy continue where they left off, looking for Riku, but they run into Organization 13 along the way. Sora visits several worlds until they end up to the world that never was, where Castle Oblivion resides. Sora reunites with Riku and Kairi, and Diz reveals himself to be Anson the Wise, the scientist that Terra, Xehanort, and the rest of
his Diz.
Over 3 million years ago. Ravi, you've read over these texts so many times as a researcher, but it still gets you every
time.
It
gets me every time.
still shocks you.
The reveal is still shocking.
What the fuck?
They spoke so highly of him in the first game, except not really.
Not at all, actually.
Not at all, because he was a bad guy, and it feels like maybe this was thought up secondhand.
Yeah. Feels like it sometimes.
Okay. So basically, Alan, what this is like the shortest lore. By the way, this is fucking crazy to me how little happens in Kingdom Hearts 2.
Yeah, not a lot happened for a full, like, numbered version of the game.
Oh, okay. I wanna talk about a subplot in Kingdom Hearts 2 that they don't talk about in this article. Which I realized happened, like, recently I realized that all of the, like, Disney stories have to do with, like, the main character and a girl getting together, and then, like, Donald and Goofy will, like, nudge Sora and be like, hey, what about that Kairi girl, huh? Uh-huh. And, like, it's very weird.
They want him to fuck?
They want him to fuck.
But that's so funny, because he's only in love with one person. Riku.
Yeah.
I thought he was in love with Aqua. Or is that just all of us?
It's just all of us.
You're Aqua just projecting onto the characters.
Yeah, it's just us projecting.
Okay, so what happens next?
Okay. Xemnas in an artificial Kingdom Hearts. They all confront Xemnas and learn that Organization 13 has created an artificial Kingdom Hearts.
Is that kind of like a fucking... So is this an artificial place or an artificial, like, mindset?
It's an artificial
moon?
It's like a nuke.
So, what? How?
They're building a nuke.
This is like Zanzibar land?
It's like Zanzibar land.
Okay.
But unlike Big Boss, who gained his followers through his ideals, no matter how perverse or twisted they became by the end of it, Xemnas lied. Xemnas lies to his organization to make them believe the purpose of the artificial Kingdom Hearts was to help them regain their hearts. However, Xemnas' true motive was to create his own world in his own image.
Oh. Yeah.
Sora and his friends destroy Xemnas and his artificial Kingdom Hearts.
Can I take another shot at explaining what Kingdom Hearts is?
Robbie, please do.
Kingdom Hearts is Shenron.
Basically, you get a wish.
You basically get a wish, but I think it's unlimited.
It's an abstract wish, though. It's kind of generally what you want, not necessarily a straight... You can't ask for a pair of girls' panties.
Yeah, like you can ask for, like, a world shaped in your image, or, like, like the worlds to be united, peace, or whatever.
Which, for me, a world in my own image? Oh, maybe a little hotter than a lady's undergarment.
God, yeah.
I'm a narcissist, by the way.
Yeah.
Even though
famous. Oh, yeah. When people think of Russ Walsh, they think of high self-esteem.
Yep, they sure do.
They think of a person who has nothing but good things to say about themselves. How smart and intelligent I am. It really values themselves. Just much like Xemnas values the power of Kingdom Hearts. Anyway.
Okay.
Sora and his friends destroy Xemnas and his artificial Kingdom Hearts, and then our trio is seen on the beaches of Destiny Island. All appears to be peaceful. However, with the defeat of Xemnas and the defeat of Ansem in the Heartless Kingdom Hearts 1, Xehanort has been brought back to life.
When you destroy both the Nobody and the Original and the Heartless, it reforms the person.
Mm-hmm.
So if you kill... You have to kill two of them and just leave one away. That way they won't respawn.
Or you could, throw them into lava or something.
That's a way to kill somebody, but they won't come back.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, famously in Star Wars, they threw Obi-Wan through Anakin into lava, and he lived on to become Darth Vader.
That's true. You're right. Maybe that won't work.
It doesn't seem to work often in fiction.
I thought you were citing that, like, somebody did throw somebody into lava and it did work.
Yeah. Star Wars is my favorite documentary. That's why I get mad about it, because it really happened.
Okay, now what?
Okay. When the group learn that this, Sora and Riku decide to go through the Mark of Mastery exam, leading us into Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance, a game I don't think me and Ravi know very well.
I've definitely played it. It's been a long time, though.
Mm-hmm. you were probably dreaming of it. At the time, was it considered the third Kingdom Hearts game, or was it?
A lot of people felt like it's like the like spiritual third Kingdom Hearts game because, well, it was, first of all, it's a 3DS game. There's no way. Yeah. That's not a real video game.
It's the Peace Walker of its.
It's the Peace Walker of Kingdom Hearts.
I understand.
Alan, I just want to stress, basically, Kingdom Hearts 2 was a sequel to Kingdom Hearts 1. And they made a bunch of questions in that game that kind of had to be answered. And then pretty much everything that's come since is trying to explain and answer everything. Does that make sense?
I understand. I totally understand.
Okay.
This makes a lot more sense to me than I was expecting.
See, like, I don't, like, if you, like, it's stupid, but, like, you can kind of follow it.
I don't know. Well, Robbie, it is an hour and 15 minutes.
That's true.
Podcast.
It takes a lot of explanation.
I was only intended to be 45 minutes long.
You do need someone with a PhD in Kingdom Hearts to understand this.
Okay. The Mark of Mastery. The game takes place during Sora and Riku's Mark of Mastery exam. Their exams are inside sleeping worlds or worlds that were destroyed by the darkness but were never saved or brought back to the light again. As with Terra and Aqua, Xehanort tampers with Riku's and Sora's exams. And Xehanort's plan reveals that Organization 13 was truly created to find 13 hosts to act as 13 vessels for Xehanort. Mm-hmm. These 13 versions of himself would then serve as the 13 pieces of darkness that Xehanort needs to balance the 7 pieces of light to create a true Keyblade / X-Blade. Ansem the Heartless was created so Xehanort would have the power to travel back in time.
There you go. Time travel.
Time travel. Does this make perfect sense yet, Alan?
This is like Rick and Morty, basically.
Luckily, you have a big enough brain to understand that show, so. Right, Alan?
I'm still vaping, so yep.
Now we know. Alan is smart enough. Anyway, how does he reveal it, by the way, Robbie? Do you know? Like, do they just hit Xehanort enough until he says this out loud, or does he, like...
Yeah, you gotta
feel
it out.
I feel like it's shown in cutscenes.
Torture does work.
That's the only one you have the fancy torture degree.
Yeah.
Okay. Anywho. Since Sora... Sora's close encounters with the darkness. In Sora's exam, Xehanort manipulates Sora to get him to use darkness so he can use Sora as his 13th vessel. Riku saves Sora and Xehanort's plans are delayed again. Since Sora's exam was sabotaged, Riku is the only one to earn the Mark of Mastery. However, to prepare in a final showdown against Xehanort, many Keyblade wielders, including Kairi, are going to take the Mark of Mystery exam.
So Kairi gets a Keyblade now.
Okay, everybody's getting one.
Everyone gets a Keyblade. Riku got a Keyblade at the end of Kingdom Hearts 2 also.
I'm sold. It's good.
So pretty much, if you're anybody who's everybody has a Keyblade. Okay, so this is where we are in the series now. Kingdom Hearts 3 will be opening sometime soon after Dream Drop Distance. But we have some loose ends to tie up.
Okay.
Real quick, we're going to make these super brief. Okay. Sora's heart. Sora has always had a very open and compassionate heart. Throughout the Sora series, Sora has taken on the hearts of Ventus, Zeon, Kairi, and Roxas. Sora shares those hearts and their pain, and his heavy burden could send Sora spiraling towards darkness.
So he's like a Steven Universe.
He's like a Steven Universe.
Yes. Recoded. When Naminé works on Sora's memories and Chain of Memories, she discovers Sora's heart is so closely linked to all these people. She left a message behind in Jiminy's journal. Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah. Jiminy Cricket is the, like, he's like, he like, how do you explain it, Russ?
Jiminy Cricket is, works for the king, and he helps, kind of Goofy and Donald out and about, like, recording adventures and shit. And
he, like, keeps a journal of everything that happens.
Yes. And it's very important. And I feel like the journal is a barometer for how weird shit gets in the Kingdom Hearts universe, which is already very weird, but they'll be like, oh, the journal's acting funny. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much every spin-off game revolves around the stupid fucking journal.
The
that
journal,
you
something bad. All the pages in the journal are blank or something.
And it's funny. It's so funny to me because it's like I have never once read the fucking journal.
Yeah, the journal is like kind of like the grimoire in Destiny. Like, it's always there. You can always read it, but...
This
like,
fucking stupid bug wrote a book and everybody's like freaking out about it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an important text, okay? Yeah. Sora's memory restoration in Cage 2 was overseen by Ansem the Wise. Oh, okay. I already skipped something. She left a message behind in Jiminy's journal, which was digitized and recoded. Mend the hurt.
Okay, hold on. His journal got digitized?
Yeah, so there were some issues. So recoded is about basically they digitize the journal and then a data version of Sora like goes to the journal to beat up the bugs.
Hold on. So there's like he has to like hack into the machine and like use his Tron powers to kill the viruses.
Sort of.
The book?
I mean, like he's been to Tron literally, but it's not like true. That.
By the way, Tron is real in this world,
and he's very important.
He's temporary kind of, secretary.
He's much. Tron is more important than Aladdin or
Tron's way
Simba.
More important than Aladdin.
So like I'm noticing that like we went through this whole timeline, but it's not ever talking about like. Like the time they met Timon and Pumbaa.
Because the
like...
Disney shit doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's a different world.
It mostly does not matter for the entirety of the story. Like, I think that, like, a lot of people don't understand that, like, it's completely unnecessary to have a lot
like
of
they've got,
in there.
Like, they've got, like Donald and Goofy are in their party all the time.
Yeah, that's
But nothing
it.
Really happens.
Yeah. No.
It's like if they made the Treehouse of Horror episodes of The Simpsons, but the wraparound stuff became more important than the little skits.
Yeah.
Oh, true. It's like, it's kind of like that these guys are just kind of like ad-libbing in the background of a track or something. Like they're just kind of like standing off to the side, just kind of like mugging and making faces.
They're,
and like,
they're usually extremely Whatever. Involved in the plot of okay. of the movies, but like they just yeah. play out like the movies do. You know, yeah.
okay.
you still have to, There's you like, help Aladdin fight Jafar, but like...
Except the Nightmare Before Christmas for some weird reason.
Yeah, no, the Nightmare Before Christmas levels because they love that stuff in Japan. They get original stories.
Nice, nice.
It's pretty good.
Everybody in Japan became goth.
Yeah.
Became a 2007 hot goth.
They also love Pirates of the Caribbean, which is a problem.
Yeah. Anyway. We nominate... okay, where was I on this? Okay, Sora's memory restoration in Cage 2 was overseen by Ansem the Wise, known at the time as Diz. Sora's heart is unique in the sense that he can mend broken connections and save hearts. He does this first with Ventus twice. He did it twice.
Mm-hmm.
Then Kairi, Naminé, Roxas, Zeon, and even Vanitas. He realized how strong and loving Sora's heart was, prompting him to store data inside it containing vital information necessary to save all those who are lost and bringing them back.
Okay.
Okay, oh which God. I don't, I have no clue where that fucking factors into the plot, but sure.
Time travel.
Okay, this is where things get complicated, Alan.
Okay, this is my forte, though.
Yeah, to be able to time forte. Travel, you must abandon your body and live only as a heart. You can
Makes
then
sense.
Only travel in your own timeline. You cannot go further back than you were born, and a heart can either go in... The past or back?
When
past?
You're traveling as a heart, do you travel like a little glowing ball of light?
I think you do.
Oh my God.
So do
I feel
we,
like
do
you do.
Do we know that the Sora's heart that was
you know
talking
what? What if
to
he
him
was time
might have been
traveling.
A time-traveled version of him?
Oh, that's a very interesting theory.
It's a Madoka Magica sort of thing. He's like
That's
a,
what I'm thinking, yeah.
You know,
and Ravi, if that winds up being right, I gotta get like a degree in something.
Well,
like, they
yeah,
ought to give me an award.
You deserve
he actually,
one.
Alan, you know how I said this is a mini-series? Guess what we're doing yeah. on the next episode? And this is just a teaser for anybody who's made it into this insanity.
Yeah.
We're going to have a prediction cast. So put that, write that down, everybody.
Okay.
Write that down somewhere, because that's a good prediction. anyway. A person cannot move... to be able to travel in time, you must abandon your body and live only as a heart. You can then mm-hmm. only travel in your own timeline. You cannot go further back than you were born, and a heart can either go in the past or back the present. Maybe Sora is special, though. It could go back further.
Yeah, maybe.
He went back to the time when he was born.
Yeah, and he met Ventus, so maybe he can go back in Ventus's timeline. Who knows?
Maybe.
Yeah.
A person cannot move beyond the present into the future, and it is impossible to change events that have already happened and are set in stone. You can only affect a future beyond the present. Once you return to the present, you will forget everything you have done while traveling through time, but you subconsciously still follow the path you laid out by yourself by traveling back in time. Xehanort can travel by splitting himself into Ansem and Xemnas, gaining the ability to travel in time was the true reason Xehanort created his artificial heartless Ansem. Ansem travels back in time to a much younger Xehanort to tell him what will happen in the future and to pass on his ability to time travel. Young Xehanort now can travel through time, so he finds other incarnations of himself to help him either get closer to finding 13 pieces of darkness.
Yep.
Okay.
And that's it, basically.
That's Kingdom Hearts in a nutshell.
That makes sense. I think I understand.
You get it?
I get it.
Do you think that now that you have this, you're going to dip right in Kingdom Hearts?
No. Oh, I might just jump in. Oh, Kingdom Hearts 3.
Good call,
yeah, maybe.
Alan.
Maybe Kingdom Hearts 3. I might play that one, but I'm not.
You know what?
Ones.
You don't have to do that.
Hey, it's the big release this month,
Robbie. It is the big release this month. That's true.
Okay.
Everyone who says that they want to try Kingdom Hearts, I always tell them they shouldn't do it because of this.
How about you tell them this, Robbie?
Yeah.
If you have a friend, tell them to listen to this episode, and by the end of it, everything will make perfect sense.
And then,
yeah, I totally understand it now.
Everything works perfectly.
Now, Russ, smart. You said
hey,
we had
that's
some
how that's how Kingdom Hearts works.
You had some questions.
I've got
you...
some. I'll shoot them at you real quick.
Okay.
There's a lot of questions.
My friend Dan says, "Yeah, why can't I beat this stupid game?"
Get good,
noob.
Friend of the show, Ren asks, if there was a Sonic world in Kingdom Hearts, what animal would Sora and his crew be?
Do you guys want to take a guess? Because I have an idea.
Okay. Sora would be a hedgehog, because look at his hair.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm using, this is me being 100% using the logic in my brain. If they're going off Pride Land rules...
Mm-hmm.
Sora turns into a lion when he visits the Lion King world.
He
so
does.
Obviously
that's
he turned
true.
Into
he
a hedgehog.
Turn into a hedgehog.
Yeah, that would mean that
Donald
would turn
Goofy
into like a wave of the swallow. Yeah,
I was gonna say a flicky.
I'd say more of a wave of the swallow situation.
Goofy.
Well,
is this
you know,
Donald
would be like a wave of the swallow.
Okay.
Yeah, and Goofy would be a robot.
So Goofy's been a turtle twice,
oh,
in Atlantica
shit.
And in Pride Lands.
That's fucked.
So,
he'd be like a victim.
Why didn't
the
he turn into a hyena?
That's a great question. And well, the hyenas were there, but you know, they're rude.
So I feel like Donald being one of the like Wave the Swallow is good because the Babylon Rogues were the descendant of genies, and he is a mage.
That you know what that yeah that makes sense.
It does make sense.
I have a question. What is Fang the Sniper?
He's a weasel.
Yeah,
you used it because
that's what I feel like Sora would be.
Wasn't he Knack the Weasel for a bit before he became?
There's Knack the Weasel. Yeah,
because that's what I feel like. I feel like Sora would be.
Wait, why? I don't think he's ever been called Fang the Sniper.
Isn't that what he's called? In Sonic the Fighters,
I think in the Sonic the Fighters, he on the Japanese select screen, he is Fangu Za Sniper.
Yeah, that's what
and,
I fucked
up.
And he got localized over here as Knack the Weasel.
Okay, now
now I've got a bevy of questions here, Robbie.
Go ahead.
Oh my god. From either one person who is flexing on you or multiple people who are scared and confused and need your help.
Okay.
Probably that.
Okay. Can Sora and Riku, and this is all through my Curious Cat, thank you.
Okay.
Can Sora and Riku time travel now that Yensid taught them how to time travel into the past? How come Merlin could time travel into Timeless River without becoming a Heartless? How fucking old is Mickey Mouse if he's a Keyblade Master in BBS?
So the first one, the answer is yes, they could probably time travel. If they were taught how to time travel, they could probably time travel. The second one...
Like, is it like Goku when he learns to instant transmission on Planet Yard Rat?
Yeah, it's exactly like that. Someone taught him how to instant transmission, right? I don't remember.
Yeah, exactly. The Yard Rat people.
That's right. The reason, what was the second one? Something about Merlin.
Well, how could Merlin time travel into Timeless River without becoming a
I feel like he's doing a different thing.
He's doing his own thing?
I feel like that's a different, the Sword and the Stone magic is completely different from like.
And they're using a sacred object, the cornerstone
of light. They're using the cornerstone of light.
Which, you know.
What the fuck?
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. We'll save that for the next trilogy.
That's a different thing.
Mickey Mouse, you know, how old is Ventus? We don't know. Time runs differently in this universe.
Also, he's a cartoon character. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's a funny animal.
If you want to fuck Mickey, you can. I can't agree with
Mickey
it.
Mickey ain't gonna fuck you, bro.
Yeah, don't worry.
All these fucking reply guys, like,
I know, right?
They're like, ah, you're Mickey. I'm doing the story.
Mickey does appear to be a trillion years old, but I always assume that the time works differently in different worlds, but maybe not. I don't know.
Anyway. How come Scar Mickey keeps his sanity in physical form when he becomes a heartless in cage too? When only Ansem could do so.
Because he's such a bad dude. Maleficent does it too.
He's a big scary cat.
Maleficent does it also, doesn't she?
Yeah. No.
She turns into a dragon, but like that's Maleficent can just do that.
Yeah. But though they do make it sound like he did it on purpose.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe he's also a man of science.
Okay. There's a lot of these, Ravi. Should I just do,
give me like one more.
Okay, one more. Wait. Okay. Let me find one. This one is more an internal logic one, but why the fuck does Xemnas send Marluxia as Lord of Castle Oblivion and not say Vexen? When Vexen is one of Ansem's apprentices, it is easily trustable, like Marluxia.
I think Marluxia was set up to fail.
I actually have my own theory on this, Ravi.
Okay.
Much like how they implied in this timeline, and I'm going to ascribe to their theory, that Xehanort proper brought Ventus back to Disney Islands as some sort of makeshift prison. So did possess Xehanort, who still had a layer of control or a little bit of his Terra personality, who put Marluxia there, a person he didn't trust, in a place that he remembered hating. How does that stand out? Do I pass my... How did my thesis sound? Do I pass the exam?
I think it could work.
Am I a PKHD? philosophy and Kingdom Hearts doctor?
A pretty Kingdom Hearts dick.
Pretty huge Kingdom Hearts dick. Pretty huge Keyblade.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
I thought I understood it, but then that belt part I didn't really get at all.
Do we have sign off for this?
We still can't believe Goofy is fucking dead.
That's true.
Well, Robbie, do you have anything to
play for? At what point did he die, guys?
Okay. Yeah. Do you want me to do it?
Yeah, you can do it.
Okay, so at some point during this game, there's a siege on the world Radiant Garden, which is like the new place that all the Final Fantasy characters hang out. And it is called the Battle of Thousand Heartless, and it's meant to show off the CPU power of the PlayStation 2 by putting a bunch
blast
of Heartless
processor
on the screen. Basically, after one of the boss fights with one of the organization members, like there's a little cutscene where like a rock comes flying out of nowhere and bonks Goofy on the head. And,
fuck,
like, it is implied that Goofy's dead, even though he very clearly has just been knocked out. And they're like, we have to leave. We can't stay and mourn him. So they just leave without him.
Did he really die?
He didn't die. Of course he didn't die. He shows
up. So he just,
later,
like, woke up and he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, he got bonked on the head and they were like, I don't know what to do. And they left.
That's cool.
Yeah.
She's kind of the emotional center of the entire game.
Yeah. It's in context, it's a little more like, I don't know. It's like a little emotional, I guess. Not really, because it's just Goofy getting hit in the head with
this.
A rock.
Isn't that what happens? He goes, they'll pay for this.
Mickey does say that right after, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he takes off his robe.
Whoa.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't even talk about the part where Mickey's shirt gets ripped off, and we're never going to talk about it. We're just going to leave it.
You know, this timeline still doesn't have any of the 0.875 Prologus Extremis. What is it called again?
That's what it's called.
I don't remember. Anyway, folks, thank you for joining us on this first episode of this soon-to-be legendary podcast miniseries. It was so much fun. Ravi, do you have anything to plug?
No. Kingdom Hearts 3 out January 29th, 2019. Pay me.
Oh my god, I'm so excited. Yeah. Check out your local improv scene.
Don't.
If you're in the Portland area, go to Kickstand Comedy Space on Thursday nights. I like to... I don't know if you listened to the last episode. I told Alan that I like to plug my shows that I get invited to.
Uh-huh.
And I don't get paid any money for.
Yeah.
And I like to go and say, like, they're, like you should go to it just because it makes me sound like an adult.
Yeah.
Like, that I got gigs.
Like, you got... Yeah. Yeah, you got booked there or something.
Yeah.
I got booked. It definitely was not a Facebook message from my friend Dylan.
Russ will be performing... On these dates.
He's doing yeah. him and his Herald team.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I wish I had a Herald team. Anyway.
Simple and clean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a great one. It's like live and learn, but...
Kingdom Hearts.
Simple and clean.
Anyway, this has been I Can't Believe Goofy is Fucking Dead. Keep it simple and clean.
Keep it simple and clean.
Keep it simple and clean.